Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1. The History and Life of Ajamila, Text 58 to 60. We read three slokas? All three slokas we should read? Okay, we read the Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vishlatan. Nibya Vyapetam Nirapatrapam Kridantam Anugayantam Hashantam Anayantike Mataya Vishalan Kridantam Anugayantam Hashantam Manyayantike Mataya. Translation and purport. By his divine grace, Om Vishnu Paraparamahansa Paribraja Kacharja Abhay Charanar Vinda Bhakti Vidanta Swami Srini Prabhupada Ki Jai. Once this Brahmana Ajamila, following the order of his father, went to the forest to collect fruit, flowers, and two kinds of grass called Samit and Kush. On the way home, he came upon a Shudra, a very lusty fourth-class man, who was shamelessly embracing and kissing a prostitute. The Shudra was smiling, singing, and enjoying as if this were proper behavior. Both the Shudra and the prostitute were drunk. The prostitute's eyes were rolling in intoxication, and her dress had become loose. In such was the condition in which Ajamila saw them. Please repeat. Once this Brahmana, Ajamila, following the order of his father, went to the forest. While traveling along the public way, Ajamila came upon a fourth-class man and a prostitute who are vividly described here. Drunkenness was sometimes manifested even in bygone ages, although not very frequently. In this age of Kali, however, such sin is to be seen everywhere. For people all over the world have become shameless. Long ago, when he saw the scene of the drunken Shudra and prostitute, Ajamila, who was a perfect brahmachari, was affected. Nowadays, such sin is visible in so many places, and we must consider the position of a brahmachari student who sees such behavior. For such a brahmachari to remain steady is very difficult, unless he is extremely strong in following the regulative principles. Nevertheless, if one takes the Krishna consciousness very seriously, he can withstand the provocation created by sin. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we prohibit illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. In Kali Yuga, a drunk, half-naked woman embracing a drunk man is a very common sight, especially in Western countries. And restraining oneself after seeing such things is very difficult. Nevertheless, if, by the grace of Krishna, one adheres to the regulative principles and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna will certainly protect him. Indeed, Krishna says that his devotee is never vanquished. Kuntiya pati janihi nami bhakta pranashyati. Therefore, all the disciples practicing Krishna consciousness should obediently follow the regulative principles and remain fixed in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Then there need be no fear. Otherwise, one's position is very dangerous, especially in this Kali Yuga. Ekadashu pointing out that that this scene that's being described here is actually becoming very common in Kali Yuga. And Prabhupada is very concerned for his followers. And he's saying that we must consider the position of the brahmachari, student, who sees such behavior. So if actually everyone is brahmachari, it says that Ajamil was a strict brahmachari, but we know he was married, he had children, but he was classified as a strict brahmachari because he followed the rules very, very carefully. So even though he was in the grihastha ashram, he was considered a grihastha, a brahmachari, because of his strictly following the regular principles. So Prabhupada is talking to everyone when he's saying that we must consider the position of the brahmachari. It means everyone in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So Prabhupada emphasizing here that we must be very strong in following the principles. It means we must be wholeheartedly accept these principles and follow them in total. Not 50-50 or very loosely. Otherwise we're always going to be attacked in this difficult age. This dangerous position, as Prabhupada said, in the age of Kali. So Srila Prabhupada is saying here that restraining oneself after seeing such things is very difficult. He's not saying anything is easy here. It's very, very difficult to see such things. Because this is the dormant desire of the living entity. Why? The very reason we came into the material world was to be the enjoyer. And that enjoyment is, the epitome of enjoyment is the relation of male and female. And here, Ajamil is seeing this. He's been so strict all of his life, but here he is seeing this in scene of enjoyment, and it's simply awoken that dormant desire that is in everyone's heart who's in the material world to be the enjoyer of the world. And so it very easily becomes manifest again, that slight provocation. So Prabhupada is pointing out it's very difficult, it's very dangerous, it's very difficult to remain steady. So he's pointing out that we have to be very strong ourselves. In combating these situations. But then Srila Prabhupada is also pointing out that although it's very difficult, if you restraining oneself after seeing such things is very difficult. Nevertheless, if by the grace of Krishna one adheres to the regulative principles and chants Hare Krishna mantra, then Krishna will certainly protect him. So this is actually the saving grace. That we have Krishna there, who's a person, and taken in personal interest. Although we're on our own in this material world, to make the decision, if we make the decision to be Krishna conscious, Krishna gives all help, and all the other personalities give all help. And if we make endeavor to embrace Maya when she's been, then she will give all help, and all of our representatives will also give all help. But we are alone in making the decision. So which help we want, that is up to us. And no one can help us change our position. That prerogative we have, that is our independence. So here Prabhupada is saying one must be very strict in his decision of accepting Krishna consciousness and rejecting Maya. This is our strength. It's on that decision. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also mentions that this decision, everybody who claims to be a human, he said, he must come to this understanding and make this decision in life. Those things which attract me and those which things which repel me. He must be rid of both of these things in the material world. What attracts you materially and what repels you materially. You have to make a decision, he said, about not giving these attention, these attractions and repulsions of this material world. Simply give your whole attention to Krishna. And he said, anybody who claims to be a human being, he must come to this point of making this decision. So this is the strength of the living entity. One must be strong for it. This is the strength, that you actually can make that decision. You see what is Maya, what is Krishna, and you only choose Krishna consciousness, and you reject Maya. You have to make that decision. Otherwise, you're going to be eternally bound up in the material nature. And to go back to Godhead, you have to make that decision. So one point in our sojourn in the material universe, we have to come to this point of making this decision. So that means you can do it right now, or you can wait for a few billion universes. But if you want to get out, you've got to come to this point of actually making that decision while you have a human form. So this is within our power. We may not be able to control Maya or conquer Maya by ourselves. She's too powerful. But we can make a decision not to accept her. And we may not be powerful enough to understand Krishna or go to Krishna, but we can make the decision to attempt to go to him or point towards him and perform our activities towards Krishna. And then by his grace, he can make all those things become manifest. That is his prerogative. So this is our role to play. We have to be very serious in Krishna consciousness. So we can wind everything up very quickly. That depends on the individual, how quickly he wants to wind everything up in this material world. It depends on the individual's choice and sincerity. He makes that decision and he's very sincerely sticks by it. Then very quickly Krishna consciousness becomes manifest. Prabhupada said it's instant. You can get it in a moment or you may make. And it simply depends on sincerity of the devotee who's practicing. So this is the actual saving grace that we are dealing with, the person behind it all. Just like we were hearing some nice examples yesterday of Shubhari Muni and someone else. Vishwamitra, was it? And he heard the tinkling bells on Manika. Shubhari Muni, he saw the fish. They actually fell from their position. Why did they fall? Because they were dependent on their own power. He was such a fantastic yogi, this underwater yogi, that he completely controlled breathing, stopped breathing, everything. He was so powerful. But that was by his own endeavor, by his own austerities. But when he happened to see the fish copulating, then he lost everything. Because he was dependent on himself. And Krishna says, Mama Maya Durapya, it's very, very difficult to cross this ocean of Maya. You by yourself. But for the devotees, then they don't depend on their own ability. They completely depend on Krishna. Prabhupada says, you act as if you're dependent on your ability to get something achieved. But ultimately, you depend on Krishna for the result. So this is the saving grace of the devotee. He just depends on Krishna. And Krishna, he's powerful enough to counteract Maya. She simply is energy. He simply gives the order and she stops. So this is Krishna's kindness. And Krishna says, my devotee is never vanquished. Nothing's impossible for Krishna. So for his devotee. Arjuna said to Kuruketra, and he said, Krishna, you know, I've heard about this universal form. It's very wonderful. Can I see it? Krishna says, okay. No one's ever seen it before. Such a rare thing. Can I see your universal? Krishna, okay. It's impossible to see. It's so difficult. But Krishna says, yes, okay. Just ask the question. Yes, why? Because he tells, why am I telling you all these things and showing you all these things? Because you are my friend. Because you are my devotee. I'm telling you this. Otherwise, how you can know? Even to attempt to see the Vishnu, think of the austerities and penances, and you'd have to undergo to see that. But Arjuna is not a big yogi. Just ask Krishna out of curiosity, can I see your universe? Sure. One moment. So Krishna's like that. Everything's under his control. He's just a devotee. It becomes easy to cross over. And even those, the famous slogan in the Bhagavatam, even those who perform such austerities and penances, they rise up to the position of self-realization, of Brahman realization. They're actually free from the clutches of Maya. They're so powerful by their endeavor. You know? But again, they fall down. Why? Because they didn't take shelter or hold of the lotus feet of Krishna. They were up there by their own power. And in a slight provocation, again, they even fall from that position. But devotees, they cling very tight to the lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna clings to them also. So they can't, they're always protected. Unless you want to come back and again want to fall down, then Krishna will let you. But if you don't want to let down, then Krishna will never let you go. And you will never let go of Krishna's lotus feet. So this is the wonderful thing about this Krishna consciousness society. It's so personal. And practically all the other systems, all the other religions, they're actually very impersonal. Like here, Ajamil, he's on the point of death. He can't even die by himself. He can't even die by it. The Jamadutas have got to drag him out. He hasn't got the power to leave. He didn't have the power to come into the body. He doesn't have the power to get out of the body. Some person's going to come and drag him out. Here is very vividly explained. The Jamadutas are coming, really. And you see in other religions, what happens? They say at the time of death, what do? It's nothing personal there, is it? You go to some place, I don't know, you're waiting under the ground, some people say, or you're just waiting somewhere, waiting for a judgment day, waiting for something to happen. But what you do, it seems like you're kind of waiting alone, you know, there's nothing happening. If you're under the ground or whatever, it's really impersonal, isn't it? Although they're believing in the personal God. But look at the information we get from the Vedic literature. Death has its own persons to come and take you out of the body. That's just to take you out there. And then they take you to the judgment. Then you're personally judged. You have to see Yamaraj. He's such an important figure in the universe. So important. And we're insignificant, but still you have to go and see him. It's so personal. Because he gives the judgment. So they're going to drag him. Well, they have this service. Somehow or another, due to their karma, they got this service. Maybe they like to give people punishment and things like that. So they get this service of giving people punishment. And they get kind of suitable bodies, really ugly and grotesque and scary. But actually, they're quite cultured. Their appearance is very, very rough and their behavior is very rough. And, you know, they're putting a noose around the neck of this, and they drag him out and they're beating him. their activities. But actually, when they're speaking, you understand they're very cultured. And also, here, they're saying, this Brahmana, we're telling you all his bad qualities. He saw the Sudra embracing, and he became affected, and he fell down, and he lost all of his good qualities, and he's a drunkard, and he's a woman hunter, and he's a gambler, and he's neglected his family. They're going on, and, but you see, before they get into this, they're saying, in his beginning, Ajman, he was such a nice Brahmana. He was seated in goodness. They go on praising. So this is actual culture. Even if you have to criticize someone, first, when you're in that association, you have to correct someone, the first thing you do, you praise the qualities of the devotee or anyone. This is culture. You praise the devotee about his good quality. Then, after that, then you bring out the faults which need correcting. If you're in a position to do that, you have to correct even devotees. But first of all, you'll speak of the devotee's good quality. Then you'll speak of the defects or the faults and to help correct them. So they know this. They're very actually cultured. So we see how very personal it is. And this information we get from Vedic literature, and otherwise all the other literatures are very, very impersonal. You're all on your own in the other literatures. And like even the Mayavadis there, although they accept Guru, once Prabhupada was going for a morning walk, and he went down to the Gangas, you know, the embankment on the Ganga, just outside, from the road, there's an embankment that goes down to the Ganga from Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. So he's walking down the embankment, and Bhavananda held his arm for Prabhupada to come, because it's a steep bank. So he held his arm, so Prabhupada caught hold of his arm like that. And he walked down this very steep embankment. And then when he got to the bottom, Prabhupada, he just threw his hand away. And he said, now I don't need you anymore. And he said, this is my Mayavada philosophy. You take Guru. It's all very personal. You take Guru until you get what you want. You get it, then I don't need Guru anymore. I've got everything. I don't need God. God is just an... It's just a deity. It's just an imagination. They don't exist, actually. He said, this is the Mayavada. They're so impersonal that they act personally to get what they want from Guru. But when they get... Then they don't need Guru anymore. They don't need God anymore. We worship the deity, but ultimately the deity will dissolve. I will dissolve. We'll become one. So even that, they're so impersonal. So that's why they always have so many problems. But the real version of the Vedic literature, not the misinterpreted version, is so personal. And even the Mayavadis, or even the Brahmavadis, who are actually not envious of Krishna, but still their desire is Sayuja Mukti, where Krishna's form is not manifested. The devotees say, we would rather go to hell than this Sayuja Mukti. Because sometimes Krishna goes to hell in the form of Rahadev. He goes down to the lower planet. At least there's a chance of seeing Krishna here, you know. Sometimes he may... But in the Sayuja, he's never manifested there. So hell is actually better because we stand a chance of seeing Krishna. So, but even at Sayuja Mukti, she's a person. That Shakti is actually personified. She's impersonal, but she's actually personified as a person. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, he's making the prikram, the Navadip Bhava Charanga. So beautiful book. It's such a good book. It's so beautiful. Personal, so personal. But everything is personal in it. It's such a nice... And he's in Rudradweep, the island of Rudradweep. And he sees one very attractive woman. Very beautiful woman there. And she's crying. And he says, well, what's the problem? And she says, that you listen to my child of woe. She said that many great sages like Gautreya and others, they were giving me attention for some time. But now they've all left me. They've gone off to worship Lord Garanga and Nabadweep and left me in there. I am searching uselessly for them. No one is giving me attention anymore. My name is Sayuja. I am my sisters, Salimpa, Saloka, Shasti, they've all gone off and worshipping Garanga. But I'm Sayuja, I can't do that. And no one is giving me any attention anymore. At least my sisters get attention. People want their different kinds of liberation. But no one gives me attention anymore. Even the great sages, now they come to Nabadweep, they've all got a taste of devotion, so they've left me. So this is my position. I'm Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, simply hearing the name Sayuja, he said, oh, shivering. It's like you hear the name of Putana. The residents, when they hear the name of Putana, they shiver in fear that the witch is coming to devour their Krishna. So Sayuja is, he's coming to devour our bhakti. He doesn't give any attention to Mukti. He faints, actually. He falls on the floor and faints. So even Mukti herself is personified. And it, also this is evidence of that statement that when one takes the devotional service, Bhakti and Mukti stand with folded hands. She is actually saying that as the example. Mukti Devi is saying that Gautreya and other sages were giving me attention when they were in my body influence. Now they've gone to, and I'm searching for them. In vain. I know it's in vain, but where can I find them? But I'm searching. I'm waiting with folded hands, searching. So for the devotees, Mukti Devi herself is waiting, and Maya Devi is also waiting with folded hands. But this is the thing, it's so personal, everything is personal in the Vedic literature. But now they're saying, well, even the so-called Hindus are saying it's all mythology. Most probably, most Hindus think Hinduism is mythology now, because of the British and the different influences, propaganda. But practically every Hindu you meet, you believe in this mythology. It doesn't exist. All these gods and everything, it's all mythology. But actually they're there, they're all person. And it's so nicely expressed. Especially in Nabadweep Bhava Charanga. It's really my favorite book because it's so personal. And it's just, don't you know, you probably read it, right? It's in that Nabadweep, the Dhamma Mahatmya book that's been put out in this one. There's two, and on the back side also, there's two books there. The last portion is the Nabadweep Bhava Charanga. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is making the prikram of Nabadweep. It's all being revealed to him. It's either a meditation or he's actually doing it. Some people say it's in. But he's revealing it to us also, what is happening. And it's so personal, because everywhere he's going, he's getting meeting personalities and they're giving him blessings. He's not on his own, you know, like other spiritual books you read, there, you know, people in search, Siddhartha, very common book, a lot of people read. But before you come to Krishna consciousness, maybe you read some of these books about people searching, and because you're feeling like that, you're looking also, so you're interested, and they're talking. It's quite nice, you know, the mood is good, but they never hear anything positive at the end. It leaves you kind of. It's good. The search is good, but they never take you anywhere. They leave you. And another one I was reading, he was talking, yes, flash, 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 and he was saying, and then flash, 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 and then the book finishes, and what is this flash, flash, flash? And so, in Vaishnava literature, and especially in this Bhaktivinoda, he's searching, but he actually gets the goal. He goes through step by the final attainment of everything and perfection. It's such a nice book. It's so satisfying. You know, it actually tells you what's happening. But that's so personal. He meets all the personalities of the Dharma, they're giving his blessings. He meets Lord Nrsingha Dev at Nrsingha Pali, and Nrsingha, he says, please help me remove the obstacles so that I can serve Radha and Krishna. And Lord Nrsingha Dev, he says, he gleefully places his lotus feet on my head. He says, he gives him abhaya, be fearless, my child. Stay in Navadvip Dham, chant Hare Krishna, worship Radha and Krishna, associate with devotees. Very soon, by my mercy, you will attain all perfection. And he's just going around meeting all these personalities who live in the eternal residence of the Dham. Meets Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev's got a beautiful blackish body, 12 tilaks, Kunti Mala, Japa Mala, chanting Hare Krishna, walking out. He said, previously when I was a Kuruketra, when I was dying on the bed of arrows, Krishna came and spoke to me. Something very confidential. He said, because earlier on, you went to my very holy sacred place, Navadvip, this most dear abode of mine. You went to study under Janamuni, because Bhishma Dev got all those instructions. All those instructions that Bhishma Dev has given to Yudhisthira, all that dharma, he got from Janamuni. And Janamuni's ashram is in Navadvip. So Krishna told him, he said, when he was on the bed of arrows, he said, because you visited that place. You studied there under Janamuni, in that place, because you took darshan of that sacred place. When you leave your body now, you're going to get another body. You can go. Prabhupada said there's a planet called Partha Sarati, where the devotees, you know, the Kshatriya spirit, they go there. That's the Rasha there. It's a planet, Partha Sarati. So Vishnudev and all the big Kshatriyas, they go there simultaneously. He's going there simultaneously to get a place in Navadvip, simply because you had darshan of Navadvip. So Vishnudev, you know, he just gives him such nice instructions. As long as you have a material body, you hold on to the regulative principles very, very strictly. And simply by doing that, by the mercy of devotees, you will attain your spiritual body also, like here. There are countless living entities all in their eternal bodies. You simply strictly follow the principles of bhakti, you will also, by the mercy of devotees. Finally, he's in Rudradrip, and he hears someone dancing and chanting and jumping, going, he looks up, and it's Lord Shiva. How am I there? Please bless me, that I may attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Amadev says, yes. He said, by my mercy, very soon you will attain your perfection. You just see that high sandy shoal, or that's called Kulpalinda in Navadvip. That is no different than the bank of the Jamuna where Krishna performs a rasa. You go there, you will be able to. But Lord Shiva says, by my mercy, Maya will withdraw her energy. Because, well, of course, Lord Shiva is the master of Maya. So again, very personal. Who can remove Maya except her husband? So he says, by my mercy, Maya will withdraw. He will withdraw the Maya. He will order Maya Devi. Leave him alone. Otherwise, how you can remove? Maya Devi works under the control of Shiva. We try to lord it over Maya. When we're kamis, we can't do that. When we're devotees, we try to control over Maya. But how we can control Maya? Shiva is the control of Maya. Even. Therefore, Vaishnava Jatha Shambhu. We have to seek the mercy of the great Vaishnavas. And when they're satisfied, they can order. He can order his wife. Leave him alone. Now he's become Krishna's devotee. Maya Devi, my wife, you leave him alone. Now your sister will take care. Because the reflection of Maya Devi is Yoga Maya Devi. That's her real understanding. In Srimantadvip, Parvati, she heard the glories of Gauranga from Lord Shiva, and she immediately came to Mayapur. I have to see this form of Gauranga. So she was meditating there, then Gauranga came. She was meditating on Gauranga as Lord Shiva described, and she opened her eyes and she actually saw that her meditation was standing in front of her. Lord Chaitanya was there with his beautiful orange golden body and his effulgent body and his beautiful curling hair, and he was just intoxicated with love of God, and he was tears were falling, he was stumbling. The kirtan was coming with the devotees. She saw this astonishing sight. And then Lord Chaitanya said, he said, "Mother, what are you doing?" And she was lamenting. "No, you have come to give Raja Prem to everyone without discrimination. But my name is Maya Devi. And where there is Krishna, the Maya cannot stand. Where is the sunshine, the darkness cannot be. So I'm your shadow and I have to stand backside. So you're giving your mercy to everyone, but I can't get it because I always have to be backside. I can't stand in front of you. And you're showing mercy to everyone. What is my condition?" And Lord Chaitanya Prabhu said, "No," he said, "from my angle of vision, I see that you are none different than Srimati Radharani. You know that Maya, sometimes we are cursing. We're swearing at Maya sometimes when she gets. Sometimes. But actually, she is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says she is Radharani. I see her as none different than my internal potency. Radharani. You are part of my internal potency, which is manifested in its complete form as Srimati Radharani. And without your help, because you act as Yogamaya, you're actually the reflection of Yogamaya, which is my energy, Radharani's energy, expansion of Radharani. It's the internal potency." He said, "Without your help, I can't perform all my pastimes in Vrindavan, or even Navadvipa. So that's your real identity. Now you've forgotten your identity. You're thinking you're Maya Devi." So he gave a self-realization. She understood her actual sarup. So therefore she stays in Mayapur as Krodamaya, which is Yoga Maya Devi. She stays in Srimantadvip in that form, constantly meditating. She also has a position of Krodamaya, which is Yoga Maya feature, with Ketrapol. They're the guardian. They protect the Dham. They cover. The Yoga Maya covers Krishna, so they cover and they reveal also. That's their service to Navadvipa Dham. So yeah, so she's person, either as Yogamaya or Mahamaya. She says everything is person. So the controller of Maya is Krishna, but he controls her in the form of Lord Shiva. When Krishna says, "You should know that all the different species of life are made possible by me in this world, are made possible by me," in Bhagavad Gita, "Aham Bija, and I am the seed-giving father," Prabhupada says that is in the aspect of Lord Shiva. Because Krishna doesn't touch the material energy to create all the different species of life. But in the form of Lord Shiva, he touches, therefore he says, "Aham Bija Pratapita," Prabhupada says that's in the form of Lord Shiva. There he touches material energy. He creates the different forms. So in that way, Durga is not different than Radharani, actually. And Shiva is also not different than Krishna, but they just manifest to touch and act in the material world simply to satisfy the desires of the living entity who want this creation. That's all. So like that, nothing can move without there's a personal touch behind it. Yeah, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gets the blessings of Lord Shiva. Okay, Maya would withdraw all of her influence. So now he's free from Maya. Now he can actually see the spiritual vision. And he goes and he says, "There I see in the distance what Lord Shiva was describing. Radha and Krishna, there's the Rasli, the billions of gopis dancing there." He says he saw that form, and immediately he faints. And he said, "Then I wake up and I see it's a wondrous figure." And he said, "It's myself, it's my own self. He's got this wonderful figure of a young girl." He said, "Desire, Kamala Manjari. He's got this wonderful form as a young girl." And he's astonished. And then he sees, oh, there's another young girl next to him. He says, it's Ananga Manjari, who's his guru. And she shows me Navadvipa. She showed me the spiritual aspect of Navadvipa in this form. And he said, then she takes me to Rupa Manjari, who is Rupa Goswami. We are Rupa Nugas, we are followers of Rupa Goswami. And she introduces me to Rupa Manjari. Here is a resident of Navadvipa, a great devotee of Gauranga. She wants to serve Radha and Krishna now. Please, give her your blessings so you can impart into her the sentiment that is needed to serve Radha and Krishna in your footsteps. We are Rupa Nugas. We have to adopt this the sentiment that Rupa Nuga has to serve Radha and Krishna, because he knows very well. To get that, you personally have to meet Rupa Goswami or Rupa Manjari, and personally they have to give you it. Everything is so personal in this movement. Otherwise you're not going to get it, because it's their Shakti. And we're following that line. So we want to approach Radha Krishna in this particular mood that they have given. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was established, the followers are establishing. And to get that, we have to personally get it from the people who have it. So the guru is there, and what happens is, not impersonally, he wakes up, his spiritual perfection is there. He's got his spiritual body, okay, I can go and serve Radha and Krishna. No, his guru is there. His guru is there, and still instructing, showing him around, introducing him to the other devotees. And then it's not finished there. Come on, we'll go and see the Shakyas, we'll go and see Lalita and Vishakadevi. Get their blessings. Oh, you bought this nice devotee of Gauranga. Keep him near you in your cottage. Train him up. Let him have that service of his desired choice, she says. So you can still have your desire how you want to serve. Let him carry the camphor tray. And when you go and perform your service, take him with you sometimes. This way he can get introduced. And later on, he becomes familiar. He said, then later on, as I perform the service, maybe Radharani will be pleased. They'll start to recognize me. Just like Narottam Das Thakur's one very nice song. And he says, oh, who is that nice new little girl you got with you? And he says, oh, this is Manjulali. The new servant come to serve you. And Manjulali is Golila, Lokanath Goswami. And anyway, it was the same thing here. I can't remember all the relationships were. But it was the same kind of relationship that Lokanath Goswami, he was a servant of that person, the same person who said, who was with him and said, this servant, he was asked, who is that servant? Oh, her name is Manjulali. That person who said it, I can't remember what the name is. But he was actually like the guru of Lokanath Goswami here, or he was a senior disciple of. So the same hierarchy was there in the spiritual world. So it's not that it's lost here. The same thing is going on there, and you have to go through this hierarchy right up to Lalita Devi, and she's the chief assistant of Srimati Radharani and Krishna, and nobody can actually approach Radha without going through her. So everything is so, and she personally says yes, give the service, gives her blessings. You've got to, every one of us has to go and meet all these personalities. It's not suddenly we're going to get our spiritual bang and that's it, we can be in Radha and Krishna's company. No. You've got to develop all the proper sentiments, and those, that sentiment, that Shakti, they're all persons, and they have actually got to imbibe you that Shakti, otherwise you're not going to get it. It's a personal gift. Otherwise you won't get it. So you see, the whole thing is so personal in this movement, all the way up to the, and it never finished. That's such a nice thing about Krishna consciousness and the Vaishnava movement. Whereas all the other movements you study, it's all very impersonal. It's impersonal in the material world, and generally when you get your liberated, it's still it's impersonal. You got to always say, they're here. It's so personal here. And there it's more personal. It's so everything is personal and has its deity here anyway. Even whatever is in existence has a deity behind it. We don't see it. But the spiritual is even more personal. It actually has its personality. It can start talking to you in the spiritual world. Everything is personal. It's more personal. So where this whole idea of impersonalism comes from, I don't know. But this is a nice thing. That it's revealing, this is truth, and this is the truth that we've been revealing, is that you are a person, and Krishna is a person. Ultimately, you have engaged a personal relationship with him. This is the whole purpose of everything. That is called bhakti. And to do that, you need help from other persons, and you need assistance from other persons, because Krishna needs assistance from a person, Radharani, and she has billions and billions of servants to increase Krishna's pleasure. And this is what Krishna is enjoying. This is the only pleasure is the exchange of love. This is the Prabhupada, this is Radha Krishna, Prabhupada explains. Maybe it's in the introduction to Chaitanya. Radha Krishna is the exchange of love. Well, that sounds a little bit impersonal. But it's personified as Radha and Krishna. But it's actually Radha Krishna's exchange of love. So what we, when we actually enter into a relationship with Krishna, that is Radha Krishna. When there is an exchange of love with us, with Krishna, that is also Radha Krishna. Because it is the exchange of love. And practically it is, philosophically it is also, because that exchange of love is based when we get haladini potency. We're empowered with haladini potency. Right? You have to be empowered with haladini potency, which is Radharani's energy. Our energy and her are non-different. So in that aspect also, the exchange of love is Radha and Krishna. Because we cannot exchange love without the haladini potency. That's the basis of the happiness. So that is Radharani's Shakti. And so when we get the blessings ultimately of Srimad Radharani, then we can serve Krishna. But to get that, we've got to get the blessings of everyone else. Personally, then you can get that. Personally, you get the haladini potency shakti from Radha. Then you can serve Krishna. So that exchange of love, Prabhupada, is Radha and Krishna, because he is Radha and his shakti. So this is the wonderful thing about this movement. It's so nice because it's so personal, and we haven't got to struggle alone to climb up a long way to reach any perfection. We just got to hang on a rope, and they're pulling it up. This is our philosophy. We're in the dark well of material existence. We haven't got to struggle trying to get out the well. It's impossible. We just, the rope is thrown down. Just hold on. You know, okay. Why? There's someone at the end of the rope. That's why it's going up. So it's so personal, this movement. We get help from, as they say, we get a little help from our friends. So it's so nice. And all the other philosophies, practically, you don't get any help. You're all alone. Therefore, struggle, 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 and then bang, again, you fall down. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gopremanandi.